Well, I'd just like to welcome you all here this morning as we continue our look at the book of Joshua. And the last time we dealt with this, we were looking at this idea of preparing, or the children of Israel, preparing to enter into the land. And we focused on the need for them to prepare food and what that meant in regard to our own life, our own spiritual life. Today, as part of that preparation, we're going to be looking at three of the tribes of Israel. These three tribes, as we'll see in the reading this morning, were asked to, I'll go into it a bit more detail a bit later, but that essentially they had to go into the land with the children of Israel, despite the fact that these three tribes in particular had been given their lands that stood on the outside of the Jordan River as a boundary. So we're going to be looking at these three tribes today and getting a sense of what these might be within us and how these must be brought into the work of our spiritual regeneration. And so it's an interesting study looking at all the tribes, because all of the tribes taken together represent all the things and permeations of goods and truths that belong to the things of the church, or the things of spiritual consciousness, which is what the term church means in the writings. So we're going to be doing that, and we'll go into a little bit of detail. We have to go into a bit of background as to the origin of the tribes in order to set the context for what we're going to be dealing with today and what we're going to come across as we move through the book of Joshua. So a reading from the book of Joshua this morning is chapter 1, reading verses 12 to 18. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise.' So they answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage.'" Now, reading this morning from the Heavenly Doctrines is from the work The Arcana Celestia, number 3858. In general, the 12 tribes of Israel mean all the things that go into forming spiritual teachings about truth and good, or what belongs to the subject area of faith and love. For these, that is to say, truth and good, or faith and love, constitute the Lord's kingdom, because nothing else is thought about there other than that which relates to truth. And what is good or loving is the only thing that makes up the variety of affections there. Now, because the Jewish church was established so as to represent the Lord's kingdom, the divisions of that people into 12 tribes was done so that they might represent all those things that make up his kingdom. That is, something in the word that has not been revealed until now. 12 means all things in general, while tribes means matters of truth and good, or of faith and love, so that the 12 tribes means all of these taken together. So again, last time we looked at this idea of having to make preparations prior to entering into the land, and we saw that this is indeed a state of preparation of our own mind in order to enter into the deeper things concerning the spiritual life. And so it is only through or by means of preparation that we can actually begin then to move into a greater appreciation of the spiritual dimension that is and should be the primary aspect of life for us all. So this morning we take a look at another aspect to this preparation, and this involves three tribes of Israel who have already been allocated their portion of land on the eastern side of the Jordan, and this was done under Moses. These tribes, they saw that the land that lay on the eastern side of the Jordan, the plain there, was a rich and fertile area, and due to their abundance of livestock, they requested it from Moses. And Moses granted their wish on the condition that they did not settle until all the land of Canaan, had been rid of its enemies. So they were not to rest until the other tribes could find their rest. And so they must all work together in order to conquer the land of Canaan. Now those three tribes were the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Now the first thing we need to establish in regard to the details being expressed here has to do with what do the tribes of Israel represent within the human mind. Now we know that the people of Israel were divided into 12 tribes, with each tribe being descended from one of the sons of Jacob, who, if you recall in the story of Jacob's life in Genesis, underwent a change, whereas his name Jacob, or supplanter, was changed to the name Israel, or a prince with power with God. Now everything in the word we know has a deeper meaning, and it relates to those things that belong to the processes of our mental development, our spiritual development. And in the Old Testament, the universal principles, processes, and issues of spiritual development are illustrated and represented in the lives of various characters there. Jacob's life represents a state of mind that is experienced by people as they struggle to make spiritual realities more real in their daily life. He represents a stage of spiritual life when we are very much reliant on our own effort to take hold of spiritual things and make them our own. And this is one aspect of the meaning of the name Jacob, for Jacob means supplanter. And this is because the stage of spiritual development he represents as Jacob is one where spiritual things are somewhat more in the head than they are in the life. Our relationship to them is more one of the intellect than of the heart. Or if you like, the emphasis is on truths, on ideas, and concepts over good. So there is a stage where intellectual things take primary importance in the spiritual life. And at that stage, the idea about how these things can be used for good, or how they can be applied to our life, takes somewhat of a back seat or secondary position. In this phase of development, truth can be said to have supplanted good, at least in terms of appearances, because the person's interest and focus is on ideas that may or may not have an obvious practical application. But it is a necessary phase. It is a phase of preparation. Knowledge of spiritual things must be acquired in order for there to be something within us by which the Lord can motivate us to move from a focus on knowledge to a focus on how that knowledge can be used for the benefit of others. The growth of ideas and concepts about spiritual things represented by the Jacob phase of our life leads to a reworking in our minds as we think about them and draw new connections and insights. New ways of seeing things that relate to the development of our spiritual awareness are born as we work with truths. And this is represented in the word by the birth of offspring, by the birth of sons in the case of Jacob. So the sons of Jacob represent what is born of this state of working with truth and trying to bring it more into the practical areas of our life. And by practical, it's not so much the external aspect of life, rather it has more to do with the practical application of things to the life of our thoughts and affections. This is where the spiritual life needs to be primarily focused. All our external activity will have the same quality as what is internal and motivating it. Therefore, as we look to have our motivations transformed, look to have false ways of seeing things removed and true ways of seeing things put in place, so our external actions become more and more a corresponding element to the life of heaven. So the sons of Jacob, they represent all the various arrangements of affections and ideas about spiritual life that take form or are generated or are born in people's minds as they look to develop a fuller sense of spirituality in their life. Now, if you look at the story of Jacob, you'll find that the offspring or the sons were born to a number of different women, 4 to be exact. Now, without going into too much detail now, we should note that where Jacob represents a particular stage of a person's developing spiritual consciousness, the women to which he was joined and who bore him offspring represent the various affections that are active in this process of our spiritual development. We should by now be well aware of the fact that we have an internal and external part to our minds, and that these are separate and independent, and so form 2 distinct levels of being. We call these the external or natural man and the internal or spiritual man. These aspects of our minds each have their own will and understanding with their particular qualities and affections. The affections of the external mind give rise to desires and pleasures that form the motivation we need to attend to the things of a more external nature, particularly to do with supporting the internal dimension of our spiritual life. For example, our interest in reading spiritual material, such as that found in the Bible, found in the heavenly doctrines or other books, being motivated to listen to lectures or sermons on spiritual subjects, going to seminars and workshops, as well as attending church. All this belongs to those affections for spiritual things that are found in the external man. The affections belonging to the internal man take their form in our experience as a motivation to apply the things that are in the external man to the activity of our mind with its thoughts and affections. And it is an internal or spiritual activity when we are looking to do that from a motivation to see how we can be more effective in expressing the Lord's love and wisdom, particularly through uses that support the development of spiritual life in others. Now, in order to represent the different quality between the affections belonging to the internal and the external man, in the story of Jacob's life, the word tells us that he had two wives. Now, Jacob was first of all married to Leah, and then he was married to Rachel. The general principle is that as we begin in external things and move towards internal things, that this principle is reflected in Leah. This movement from what is external first into internal, the external principle of attraction to spiritual things, is represented by Jacob's wife Leah. For she represents the external affection for truth. When we begin to take these things that we have acquired through this affection represented by Leah, through our reading of the Word, our acquiring of knowledge concerning spiritual things, and have a desire to apply them more inwardly, this is the affection, or a more internal affection for truth, and it is called Rachel. So Rachel is an internal affection for truth. Then this is Jacob's second wife. So by these two wives is represented two affections that relate one to the external man and one to the internal man in terms of our spiritual growth and development. Now the other two women who were involved in bearing offspring for Jacob was Leah and Rachel's handmaidens. Okay, so they had handmaids. And those four women were the women that bore the 12 tribes those sons of Jacob that were to be the progenitor of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, it's necessary to have this background because it gives us a context for understanding the spiritual representation of the various tribes we come across as we move through the book of Joshua. Those tribes born to Jacob through Leah and her handmaid or slave girl represent those things to do with our spiritual development that belong to the more external part of our mind, whereas those born of Rachel relate to what is more internal, that belongs to the internal part of our mind. And so with that in mind, this internal and external aspect, we come back to the book of Joshua, and what we see here in terms of the way the land is divided up is that there is that which is within the borders of, or that border of the Jordan River, and there is that which is without. Okay, so this within and without is mirrored there, and what it has to do is with what is more external and what is more internal. So we come back to these three tribes which are found in that outer area beyond Jordan, the other side of Jordan. The Reubenites were descendants of Jacob's wife Leah, or by means of Leah. So Reuben was Jacob's firstborn son by Leah. The Gadites were descendants of the son named Gad. Now Gad was born to Leah's handmaid, Zilpah. Whereas Manasseh, on the other hand, was actually Jacob's grandson. For Manasseh was the son of Joseph, who was one of Jacob's sons by Rachel. So, to to do with that more external aspect, we have Reuben and Gad, these being related to Leah and her handmaiden. And at a more internal level, we have Manasseh, who was the grandson of Jacob, but who Jacob took to himself as a son. And Manasseh is descended through Joseph, who was born of Rachel, the more internal affection. You're still with me? Good. It's a bit detailed, but we have to get set in our minds this idea of what is external and what is internal, or we will really struggle with getting a handle on what's in the book of Joshua. Now, the land that these particular tribes requested and received was given to them by Moses, which was Israel's leader prior to Joshua. And it was given to them on the condition that they would assist the other tribes in conquering the land, that they wouldn't just get their land and settle back and not do any more. Now, the land's given to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. We're on the other side of the Jordan, with the Jordan forming a boundary between the inheritance of these three tribes and those of the other tribes, or what they were about to inherit at least. So because these tribes were located beyond the Jordan, they represent elements of the spiritual life that belong to the external man. And we can see this from the following quote. This quote is from the Apocalypse Explained, number 440. And it says this: "The land beyond or without the Jordan represented and signified the external things of spiritual life with people in the natural mind. But the land on this side or within Jordan represented and signified the internal things belonging to spiritual life with people in the spiritual mind." So we see that these three tribes had in effect been established in their lands under Moses. So the establishment of these tribes in their lands highlights the principle that the external things of spiritual life that belong to the external or natural man must become established in our life first before we can enter into the deeper work of repentance, which is confronting the Canaanites, okay, the enemies of Israel within the land. Now, what we see here is that Reuben is mentioned first, and the order of names is significant. It's always significant. And what you find throughout the scriptures is that the order of the 12 tribes, the names that are given of the 12 tribes, does change depending on what is being emphasized and discussed there. But in this case, we have Reuben mentioned first, Gad mentioned second, and Manasseh, or the half-tribe of Manasseh, mentioned third. Now, why is Reuben mentioned first? Well, yes, he is the firstborn of Jacob. But by the Reubenites is meant the first stages in the development of our understanding of spiritual ideas or concepts. And these are largely related to a literal understanding of the word and a face value understanding of what's in the heavenly doctrines. So Reuben is connected to our acceptance of the basic foundational truths we find in the Word and the heavenly doctrines. That's what Reuben is. Now, that Reuben actually does represent this elementary understanding of spiritual ideas becomes very clear in his case from the meaning of his name. Because Reuben literally means "see a son." And that was the expression given when he was born. A son's born, see a son. So we have these two words, the word to see and the word son, as an offspring. And these two words, seeing and sons in the word, relate to the things of the understanding. To see spiritually is to understand. And so in the combination of these two words, Reuben, Ru being see and Ben being the Hebrew word for son, what we have there is the idea of seeing truths. Okay? So the name Reuben is about seeing truths. And this is why Reuben is mentioned first, because we have to come into an acknowledgement of some fundamental truths before we can make any progress in the spiritual life. Now we know that it must be an elementary understanding of truths, because the Reubenites' inheritance was the other side of Jordan, the external element of that pattern. So what are the Gadites who are mentioned second? The fact that they are mentioned second means that they follow on from Reuben. Or the Gadites represent what follows on from seeing truths. Okay? So there are three things that make up the life of the mind, whatever level you're talking about, and so here the external mind. The first has to do with intellectual things. The second has to do with things belonging to the affections. And the third is when these things are both exhibited in life. All right, so these three elements have to exist in order for the mind to be in existence, in fact. So where Reuben represents what belongs to the intellectual side of spiritual life in the external man, Gad, or the Gadites here, represent what is built up in a person's response in obedience to what the truths that they see or understand. So Gad is the response to those truths that we see and understand. Gad is a response to truth, and Gad is born particularly, or what is represented by Gad is born in us particularly when it feels, or that when we've been through a struggle and we've been in a bit of difficulty in regard to the spiritual life, perhaps difficulty in keeping our motivation in spiritual things. And so we've had to compel ourselves as a matter of obedience to work with these truths that Reuben represents. And it's through that work with those truths that then Gad can be born, that there is this good of life that starts to come into being out of that. And in fact, when you go back into the story of Gad's birth by Zilpah, Zilpah was taken by Jacob because Leah had stopped bearing. So there was a point in the state represented there where they'd reached a point of not being able to get beyond something. And we often experience that in the spiritual life. You know, it's like at times we hit a brick wall. But then there is, well, we just have to compel ourselves to be obedient to the truths we have. And that is another affection, that affection that can compel us in that way, and it's represented by Zilpah. And as we do that, a son is born, and that son is called Gad, and it represents the product of our obedience to truths. And so, again, in the Apocalypse Explained 4:3-5, it says this: by Gad is described the good of life that comes from living according to truths from the Word. Okay, so Reuben, seeing, understanding, Gad being the product of that seeing and understanding. And so what follows on from Gad? Well, what follows on from Gad is this half-tribe, or what's called the half-tribe of Manasseh. As we live in obedience to our understanding of the word that we have developed within us, something begins to happen. There is a new love begins to be born. A real love and delight for the things of the word begins to flow into the natural man from the spiritual man. Okay, so there is a connection beginning to be formed, a conscious connection between what is more internal and what is more external. And we'll see why Manasseh represents that in a moment. The tribe of Manasseh is called the half-tribe. The half-tribe of Manasseh. Why? Well, this is because the inheritance granted to the tribe of Manasseh included an allotment of land on both sides of the Jordan. So this meant that half the tribe was on the outer part and half the tribe was on the more interior part of the land of Canaan. So the placement of this tribe's lands on either side of the Jordan is how the word represents a direct link between the spiritual and the natural man, represented by Manasseh. So of Manasseh, the Apocalypse Explained 440 says that Manasseh represented good from a spiritual source in the natural man. Therefore, an inheritance was given to that tribe beyond or without the Jordan, and also on this side or within the Jordan. To half of the tribe beyond or without the Jordan, and to the other half on this side or within the Jordan. Okay, so Reuben, seeing, leads to Gad, which is good life that comes from living from truths, which then leads to a development of an affection by which what is more internal has a direct, more direct connection to what is more external, represented in Manasseh. But what we see at this stage of the of Israel's looking to enter the land is that Manasseh is only established in the more external part. They haven't yet entered the land and taken the internal elements of it. From this, we are to understand that Manasseh represents the first development of a new will for spiritual things, of a higher and different quality to that found prior to this point. And so we read that in Apocalypse Explained 440 again, Manasseh means the delight of doing good and learning truth. And so we see these three things represent what flows in by means, or what flows in a series of development in regard to the external man. So when we move from our understanding of the word, Reuben, affirming its truths, or the truths that we see through our response, Gad, then we begin to see the development of a new quality of affection for the things of the Lord in heaven, which is Manasseh. And so the lesson of these three tribes is that we can never rest on just the external elements of spiritual life. Knowledge of the word is given. So knowledge that Reuben represents at this point in time is given primarily to support and serve heavenly uses or spiritual uses. And those uses have to do with the inner work of repentance. This is why the word and the heavenly doctrines has been given to us. Now, there is always a temptation of settling down into our acquired knowledge, or the knowledge that we've acquired at any particular point in time. Knowledge of the word, knowledge of the doctrines. There is a temptation of merely being content with the externals of religious or spiritual life and thinking that that is enough. And so leaving off using what we have from the Lord to engage in the internal fight with those things that are opposed to the heavenly life within our minds. So here we see that Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh in us has to be brought to this fight in order that the more internal aspects of our life might be brought into subjection to the Lord's rule, to the rule of the Lord's truth and then of His good. So Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben are not allowed to settle. The things of the word, our experience of working with things in a more external way, at some point needs to be turned and brought into focus on the deeper elements of our life, the deeper elements of our thought and affection, because this is the only way that we can be set free from selfish patterns of thinking, of feeling, and of behaving. For these things set themselves up and exalt themselves against the Lord. And they will only be eradicated if we see that the things that we have in our possession are given for the purpose of this inner journey into our own land of Canaan. Amen.